Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9. On air and online at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia. Good evening, my love.
Good evening, Brett.
How are you?
I'm good. Good evening, Australia. Good evening, the world.
Yes.
How are we all?
Look, I'm all right. It's been a long bloody day.
It has been a long day. It's been a long week. Oh. It's been a long week.
Yes.
Now, tonight, I'm going to be a shameless plug whore.
Why?
I want more likes on our Facebook page. We've got... We've got 132 likes on our Facebook page, which is a fantastic effort. So thank you to all our friends and fans of the show. But I'd like to get it to 150 by the end of this show. So anyone that's listening that isn't, hasn't liked the Chatterbox Facebook page on Facebook, please, please, please go to Facebook and type into the search bar Chatterbox on Joy 94.9 and hit like, because we're desperately needy people. And the more people that like us, the more we feel loved. So please go to Facebook tonight and make us feel loved.
Oh my God, my love. What a beautiful, beautiful way to start the show.
We just need 18 more likes, Brett. 18. It's not a big ask.
Well, yes, that's true.
I'll be checking throughout the show.
Oh, my God. It's like gay telethon. She's gone mad.
It's like we are the world.
Oh, my God. Now, obviously, Chatterbox, we have a special guest every night. And we've got a very good... We've got our old friend Blair coming in tonight.
We do indeed. We've got the lovely Blair. We are coming in a little bit later on.
Yes. And obviously, part of Chatterbox is... Our guest gets to choose some of the music and have a bit of a chat about
That's
it.
That's right. Blair's chosen three songs tonight that tell his story, and he's going to have a bit of a yarn with us, a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh. So,
now, my love, you have chosen the first track of the night.
Oh, it's an absolute stonker. I always like to start the show off with something a little bit upbeat and a little bit dancey. So tonight we will be starting the show with the Brothers Johnson singing Stomp.
I love this. It has a big build-up. It's all about dance. What's not to love?
You're listening to Brett and Andrew on Chatterbox on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. That was the Brothers Johnson with Stomp.
What a great track that
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Now, we sent out a message before that track asking people shamelessly asking people to go to our Facebook page and like Chatterbox on Joy 94.9. We were on 132. We want to get to 150. We're now up to 134. So during that song break, we have had two likes, and one of them is a very, very special member of the Joy family, which is the gorgeous Dolly Diamond.
We love you, Dolly.
Thank you, Dolly. Thank you so much for liking our page. spread the word, because the more people that like us, the more we feel loved.
We might have to do some sort of competition or something, my love.
We don't get prizes, Brett. We're on at midnight.
No. I mean, we might have to give our prize. We're happy to do something for our lovely Joy listeners. But Chatterbox wouldn't be the same without one of our guests. And obviously, our special guest of the night is the delightful Blair Weir. Blair, welcome to Joy.
Thank you very much.
Now, this is your first... Well, it's not really your first official time on radio. You have been on radio before, haven't you?
I have been on radio, but it was more in a work capacity rather than in a personal capacity.
Well, it makes it a little bit easier when it's not work.
It does indeed.
Yes. Now, my love, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, well, in the last week, the big highlight of my last week has been going to the Melbourne Art Fair.
Yes.
At the Royal Exhibition Buildings, which for me is one of the most quintessentially Melbourne experiences I think you can have. It's at somewhere that is actually a historical venue, which is part of Melbourne's history, but it's also something that speaks about Melbourne as a city, which is its art, its culture, and so forth. And
so have you found like an artist that we should all be buying and sitting on for 20 years?
Well, my partner and I have been a couple of times, and we wandered through and we found one artist that spoke to us in particular. His name's Min Woo Bang. But being the Melbourne Art Fair, you wander around and...
I'm just writing that down. Min Woo Bang.
Min Woo Bang.
Yes.
And his artwork is actually... It's not probably totally avant-garde, but we found it particularly impressive. But after wandering around and seeing many artists, we've got his name and sort of like we're eventually calling him Banky Moon, but it was like...
be more twanky by the end of the night.
But it was. But it is an amazing experience. And I've got to say... His artwork is incredible, and I have downloaded everything that he's done onto Dropbox on my iPhone, and it was quite amazing. But one of the things that was quite incredible, because I've been to the art fair over the last decade several times, and one thing that was quite amazing, because I've missed out the last 2 years because I was living overseas, and one thing that happened in the last 4 years, which was quite incredible, is that there's less... art, I suppose, paintings, but there are more, what would you call installation art?
So are you talking like sculpture or...
No. For example, there's one, it's like TV projections or there's movies showing which just go around in a continual loop, and which is, can be actually quite... I suppose impressive if you sit there and listen to it. And there are a lot of people who pay good money for it. And
so is this more like interactive art?
More interactive art. But there was one where there was this one girl and she just moved positions around, which was a room, to speak. And my partner said, if you buy this installation, does she come with it?
And do you have to, and I'm sorry.
That'd be a good gig, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Like, you just sit on an ottoman and move around every 10 minutes. And
every 10 minutes for the rest of your life.
I'll put my hand up for that.
I was going to say, do you have to feed her and shelter her then?
I possibly.
Like, that's like living hell.
No, art is suffering.
And artists, there is no, they don't ever get their payback during their own lifetime. It's only once they've died.
Well, that's always a good thing for an investor, isn't it? as grim as that is.
It is.
Now, darling, you're like the Brett and I in the studio, where we're deeply, deeply proud of living and being from Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But you weren't originally from Melbourne, were you?
No, I'm not.
Whence originally did you hail?
I went originally hailed from Perth in Western Australia.
Can I say the amount of guests that we've had in the studio that are from Perth, have been to Perth, have lived in Perth at some point... It's phenomenal.
But it's that sort of, I'd love to say East Coast and West Coast thing, but it is that East Coast, West Coast thing, really.
It is.
That people have some sort of connection to Perth. They've either lived there or they've got family from there or they date someone from there or someone who used to live there. And we want to say a big, big shout out to all our wonderful Perth listeners who tune in weekly, regardless of the show that we're on, my love.
We have a huge Perth contingent. And when I say huge, I think probably 5 listeners, which is great, which is half our demographic right now.
Yep. So that's what... But it is growing. If you like our Facebook page, hey, you're on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
You're listening to Brett and Andrew on Chatterbox with our very, very special guest, Blair Weir, on Joy 94.9. Blair, you were talking just before we went to Traff about growing up in Perth.
I was.
So whereabouts in Perth did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in a suburb called Karrinup, which actually isn't very far from where Brett grew up.
No. We're northern suburbs people because for those of you who didn't grow up in Perth, unlike Melbourne, because Melbourne's so bloody big, you either live north of the river or south of the river. And Blair, clearly north of the river always ranked higher than south of the river.
It did indeed. And funnily enough, where Karrinup, where I grew up, and Warwick, where
Hammersley and Scarborough.
Hammersley and Scarborough, yep. Where Brett grew up. Well, is now, when I grew up, it was actually considered the boondocks, but is now considered inner city because Perth has grown so much. So.
Well, I remember when I was growing up, when I was in school in the 80s, only two suburbs north, you would still see kangaroos bound by, and it's only really after the 90s that the Perth suburbs just kept on going up the coast, really, and down the coast down to Rockingham and Mandurah as well. It's crazy.
That
sport.
All the kangaroos got hit on freeways.
Pretty much.
They didn't last very long.
It wasn't a great stop. So obviously, you're growing up in Canberra, in Karrinup. My love, it's been a long day. Don't look at me like
that. I know.
So you're growing up in Karrinup. That brings us to the first choice. Now, would we call this a cliche? Maybe?
No, I think it is a cliche. However, the reason I chose this song is when I was growing up, my father was a bit of a man's man about town, and Mum was very much the angst-ridden mother at home, and so she would constantly clean the house with Barbara Streisand blasted out over the stereo system, and she would do it constantly Friday night, Thursday night, whatever nights my dad was out. And anyway, to this day, I sort of like tease my mother and say, well, that's the reason why I'm gay. And she gets very upset about it. However, you know, to Barbara's credit, I actually still like her music. However, I do have an aversion.
As do we.
Yes.
Can I say, I've been desperate for somebody to come on and play a Barbara Streisand song, and you're our first Barbara Streisand player. So
that's good. I know. Well done, Blair.
I bless you, my darling.
Oh, thank you. However, I just want to finish up. I do have a lifelong aversion to housework.
Don't we all? And here's the fabulous Barbara Streisand with Guilty.
You're listening to Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. That was Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibb with Guilty, which was the choice of our guest tonight, the lovely Blair Weir.
Cracking great song to start, Blair. Well done.
Well done, Blair. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Blair's mum, for playing it during the 1980s.
Now, speaking of growing up in Karrinup, we've had a message from another resident of Karrinup, Perth, WA. And it's my darling sister. What has she said, my love?
Hi, boys. Perth, and more especially Karrinup, is listening tonight. Love to you all. Smiley face. Cozzy. Which I'm only assuming can mean sissy and little Miss Slippy Thumbs. Hit the wrong key. Welcome back, Cozzy, because you've been missing for the last couple of weeks.
So there we are. We're growing up in Perth, Blair, in Karrinup. But obviously coming out for you didn't actually happen straight away, did it?
No, it didn't actually. It was a little bit of a convoluted procedure for me. I actually used to be married. So,
all right. To a man?
No, to a woman. You knew that, Reg.
I knew that. Don't Sorry. Be difficult to our guests.
Sorry, that was a very cheap joke and I take that back. So you're married to... You're married.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
So, yes, it wasn't the normal or whatever is what can be considered normal. So it was a little bit of a different, I suppose, coming out process for me. So it was growing up, I look back on it and I think, you know, Perth is certainly, you know, a little bit more of a conservative environment than somewhere like Melbourne, especially during the 1980s yep. and 1990s.
Absolutely.
And, it, yeah, there was a lot of environmental factors, a lot of family factors involved. And, you know, so it was, yeah, a little bit more, I suppose, different.
It's funny that everyone gets to coming out in their own personal... Like, it's such a personal journey and you can't really rush it.
Look, I think that's the important part. That's what I really like about this show is we do try and ask all of our guests what their coming out story was because it's a completely different journey for everybody. And as you said... People come about it in their own time, in their own way, and it doesn't really matter how you get there. It's just that you get there that's the important part.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think we were talking earlier about Ian Thorpe, and I think there has been some sort of harsh judgment from within the gay community about him not coming out earlier, but I think, you know, you can't, the old saying that you don't judge someone until you've walked a mile in their
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think, yeah, you can't really force someone to come out before their time.
Yeah.
And
no.
Certainly, I look back in time and I think at when I was 28 at the time and I thought I was ancient. Whereas now I look back and I think, oh, you actually weren't that ancient yeah. at the time. And I was judging myself very harshly, but, you know, and I thought everyone else was as well. But at the time, I think, you know, it actually wasn't that late, but it was, yeah, it felt for me to be a very late coming out, so yeah. to speak.
Which is quite funny because I've known guys who have come out at 40 and at 50. And I've even heard stories of people coming out in their 60s, and I just think, wow, that's either taking that they feel comfortable enough to doing that. So 28 is not old
no,
at all.
No, it wasn't old at all.
Look, I think like we talked about, it, age is sort of irrelevant in the process because everybody will go through their own coming out process in their own way yep. at their own time. But I think... I'll ask you the question, how did you feel, whether it was 28, 23, 38, 48, doesn't matter, how did you feel when you actually did firstly come to that decision yourself and then feel comfortable enough in it to tell people?
Well, when I came to that decision myself, I was sort of, once I actually made a decision I was going to tell everyone, I was very frightened and I was basically a nervous wreck for basically, I think, about a week or 2 weeks. But then yeah. about a week or 2 weeks afterwards, it was like this enormous feeling of liberation. And, you know, sometimes you hear the expression, the truth will set you free. However, for me, it was very much like that. I had this incredible feeling of freedom and this weight I'd had sitting on my shoulders for so long
yeah.
yes.
actually was off. And I felt like it almost felt like as if I could run a marathon.
Yeah.
yeah.
I felt so... So light is probably the best expression I could use to describe it. And it was just, it was an amazing feeling. And yeah. I think it did take, there were some ups and downs and I don't think it's never a, you know, a trajectory that's sort of a straight line. There were sort of like bits of times when I came down and then times when I came up again. But from then onwards, there was a great feeling of basically just becoming who I was.
Yeah.
And it was an incredibly liberating feeling.
Yeah.
And I look back on those times now and it was just, yeah, I just think, yeah, good times.
Did you encounter much negativity from coming out or was it more that sort of self-imposed fear? Because for me, I didn't really receive any external negativity, but I did, before I actually made the decision to come out, I did think of the worst possible case scenario for lots of different situations. So did you... get any negativity or was it...
I did get some negativity. Look, my father and mother were not... They didn't deal with it well at all.
Yeah.
Like, they're very good now, but they dealt very badly with it at the time. But I've got to say there were other people within my family, like certainly my mum's family were just... My aunts and uncles were amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love them to death and they were incredible. My sister was amazing. Almost all of my friends were... really understanding. So yeah. I think sometimes we judge ourselves too harshly and we don't give yeah. people the credit which they deserve. And I think I didn't. So it was, yeah, I was very lucky.
Isn't it interesting with coming out, though? It only takes one pro supporter for you and it makes the journey so much easier. When everyone else starts getting on and supporting you as well, then there's no looking back. There's just by going forward.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's surprising that, you know, my aunts and uncles are country people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just salt of the earth, wheat belt people from Wheat Belt WA.
Yeah.
And they were just amazing and have been amazing supports to me. Sort of, I don't see them very often, but when I do, they're nothing but loving and
yeah. Yeah.
and kind and generous. And they were just amazing. And I think, you know, you just don't give credit where credit's due.
Well, so. I think sometimes you do get support from places where you wouldn't necessarily traditionally expect to get support. Mm. And mm. sometimes it does come from the most unexpected places. And I think to Brett's point earlier, when it does come, when you're at that point where you're comfortable in who you are and what you're doing, it just stamps that validation on top of how you're feeling at that time. Because it is, for me anyway, it was a really liberating feeling. And from what yeah. you were saying earlier, when you actually do make the decision to come out, there is that sense of sort of, there's a weight off your shoulders and you do feel quite liberated. So any type of validation from people around you is, it just adds to that feeling.
Mm, absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely. Totally. Hey, you're listening to Brett and Andy with our special guest Blair tonight on Chatterbox on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Tim Campbell.
Hey, this is Anthony Clear. You're listening to Joy, Melbourne's very own gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hip hip, you're gay.
Oh, bless you, boys. It's Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9. I want to say a big congratulations to Anthony Kalia and Tim Campbell because they are getting engaged and, well, they are engaged and they're going to be getting married in New Zealand because the laws in Australia do prevent us homosexuals and lesbians getting married.
Thank you, Mrs. Abbott.
However, so well done for those boys. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight. Andy, what's our show about, my love?
Look, for those of you that haven't listened before, we're a late night, really late night. It's now... It's now 11:30 and 40 seconds, and I'm feeling every second of it. But we're a late night talk show, and we invite a member of the GLBTI community in to talk about themselves, tell their story, play some tracks that best tell their story, and really shoot the breeze with you and I and have a bit of fun.
Absolutely. And hey, look, I want to say a big thank you to our dear friend John of Burnley, saying, hi, guys, loving the show. You always put me in stitches. Keep up the awesome work. Smiley face. John, we love you. Thank you,
John. If you're on Facebook, please go to Chatterbox on Joy 94.9 and like our page because I will be looking after the show. And if you haven't liked it, I will hunt you down and kill everything you've ever loved. I really won't.
Oh, he won't. So, Blair... So you've come out, but you just didn't decide to stay in Perth.
No, I didn't. I actually, when I was growing up, I had a yearn to always be travel and be in Europe.
Yes.
But I always knew that living in Europe full time, long time probably wasn't for me and that, you know, I need to be close to family. So when the first time I visited Melbourne as an adult, I thought this is the closest I'm going to get to Europe, but be in Australia. So I just wanted to be in this city and live here.
And how old were you at the time?
First time I came back as an adult, I was actually, 19, I think. So
it's funny you should say that because I was 13 when we came to Melbourne on holiday in the 80s, and I fell in love with the city there and then. And then I came back when I was 19, and I thought, oh, maybe it'll be different. Maybe, because sometimes you visit a city once and you have rose-coloured glasses on, and then you go back and then it's not as nice or there's always something a little bit seedy about it. But for me, the love of Melbourne has just grown.
It's same for me. Look, ever since I've arrived here, it's like I'm home.
Yeah.
This is where I was meant to be. And, you know, nothing against my home city. I still love going back to Perth and I love Margaret River. It's like one of the parts of the world that I really do truly adore. But this city is where I suppose my heart will always lie.
The good thing is, though, if you do miss Margaret River, Yarra Valley's only an hour's drive away and it's just as good.
Oh, look,
but very different.
Oh, very different. I think, you know, having had a holiday in Margaret River in January, it's still pretty special.
Absolutely. So what's the next track you've chosen us for tonight?
Well, the next track I've chosen you is You Don't Know Me by Armin van Helden. And anyone who was out and about on the gay scene back in 1999, 2000, and going to a club called Freakazoid.
That would be us.
Yes. We'll remember that for about...
Table for three.
For about 9 months, I think it was, this was one of the tracks that they would play and everyone would go off.
Oh.
And I was there, I think, almost every Saturday night. And I just remember it was actually, for, you know, pardon the pun, it was one of the most joyous times of my life. And, you know, it was full of lots of ups and downs, so to speak, but it was an incredibly enjoyable time. Good times, and this song encapsulates those times for me completely.
It was our Studio 54.
It really was our Studio 54.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our wonderful guest Blair tonight on Joy 94.9. Since Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. We're here tonight with our special guest, Blair Weir. Blair, hello.
Hello again.
Welcome back from the break.
No, thank you.
That was your second track, which was You Don't Know Me by our man Van Helden. And we were talking just before about when you moved to Melbourne and how you felt instantly at home.
I did.
Now, for somebody that's loved Melbourne so much, and you do love Melbourne so much, you do have intense pride in Melbourne, as Brett and I do. Mm. By Christ, you've travelled a lot.
I know. Like, one would think from the amount, and I haven't always lived in Melbourne since I first moved here. So I've lived in Sydney for a couple of years, and I've lived in Vienna for almost, was 18 months. So,
well, yes, because we actually had your wonderful better half as our first pilot show.
Don't say better half, Brett. Just no, other half.
Just say better half.
No.
Oh.
Not when we're in the room.
Oh, well. People have been very mean to you over the years.
Don't
then,
you know
my love.
Nothing about social etiquette?
I know how to spell it and say it. So, because obviously Dorsey has told us about his travels, and obviously you've had wonderful travels as well.
I have. So I've been very lucky with my career in that I've been able to move not only within Australia but also overseas. And even before I moved overseas, I was constantly travelling for work as well. So I've got to actually see a lot of the world.
Yeah.
For work, and then consequently, because my partner works for an airline, I work for, or used to work for, a hotel company, we've been able to travel around and see a lot of destinations throughout the world. Not necessarily a lot cheaper than most people, but certainly we do get a little bit of a discount.
And let's just say, you didn't stay in shit boxes when you were away.
No,
did
we
you?
Didn't.
We've seen your glitzy hotel, oh, your holiday photos.
Yes.
And I love it how you boys sometimes used to play it down. Oh, no, the hotel was okay. And we looked out, pool bar, view of the ocean.
Diamond bedside tables.
A million and one staff opening the door, opening the toilet door, the locks.
Yes, yes, it can be sometimes like that.
Yes.
Yes. So we've been very privileged, and we've been able to travel to some amazing parts of the world as well as live in them as well. Yeah.
And I must admit, there's been some places I remember you and Alistair, out of all our friends, were the first to go to Thailand and to actually... To expect, which now Thailand is such a, it's like going to Bali. It's almost second nature for an Australian.
It's like going to Geelong.
Asia. Mm. Well.
Not quite.
Not quite, mate.
Half of Geelong are there. So where's the favourite place you've ever firstly visited?
Yes.
On a holiday, but secondly lived?
Okay. Well, I would... Outside of Melbourne, the favourite place I've probably lived would have to be Vienna.
Yeah.
And it is just an amazing city. And it's not for any reason that in the world's most livable cities, Melbourne and Vienna usually vie for the number one position, and whoever doesn't win gets number two.
Yeah.
Made it so livable, though?
It's just the size of the city. It's the fact that I think it's also the fact that there's so many things to do. There's incredible wealth of museums. it's also actually not a bad climate, even yeah. though they do have those very harsh winters. I actually feel colder here in Melbourne in winter than I did in Vienna,
yeah,
because everything there is centrally heated, whereas here it's not quite the same. So, but it is just an incredibly vibrant city, and
it's also a very international city because it has a lot of Austria is one of the few neutral, truly neutral countries in the world.
It is. So it is actually. And
well,
it was
my love.
Now. Yep.
We're not talking pre-1945.
Don't get me started with that shit.
No, no. And you don't want to get the Austrians started with that either, because they do like to pretend that they were totally neutral before then.
We did not know.
But it is a. It is an incredible city. And I think one of the things that is so incredible about Vienna is that there's so many historical buildings, and because it went through such a slump after the end of World War One, when the empire collapsed, everything was left as it was.
Mm, yes.
So, and it didn't start growing again really until the 1990s when the Iron Curtain came down.
Yep.
So, and by that stage, people were intelligent enough to have historic overlays over the centre of the city. So it's all been preserved, and it is just amazing to live there and be actually living in a building that's, you know, 100, 200 years old. So it, for them, that's just nothing.
Yeah.
And whereas for us, it is something that is so precious. So,
and the neighbourhood where you were living was very close to the Ringstrasse.
It was. So it was actually very close to the Imperial Winter Palace. So I used to walk through the courtyard of the Winter Palace to get to work.
So not really a shabby neighbourhood then.
No, but it was actually, I could walk across the outer ring road and I would actually be in one of the shabbier districts of Vienna. So it was... There was a lot of, you know, it wasn't very incongruous. So you'd have this very nice neighbourhood and then you'd walk across the road and then you'd be in a very not nice neighbourhood. So, but it's an incredible city, very beautiful. And I love the food, which people think a bit strange, but, you know, schnitzel, chicken cordon bleus, everything amazing.
Now, I was telling this to Andrew because we actually had a German meal last night and I had a Wiener schnitzel. And you had the chicken, or what was it, my love?
Yeah, a chicken.
It was just a chicken schnitzel, followed by the best apple strudel I've ever had. I was trying to explain this to Andrew, and he just said, it's a hot dog, Brett. But Alistair and yourself were explaining that there's that weird sausage.
It's called a Käsekrainer.
Thank you.
Now, this is the king of sausages.
Yes.
And it's not just a hot dog. And you can either have it in German or auf Deutsch. You either have a Käsekrainer and they call it hot dog. So it's a Käsekrainer in a hot dog bun.
Yes.
Or you have it geschnitten, which means cut up and served with a piece of wholemeal bread. So when you're very late at night and you're drunk and you think you're going to be virtuous and actually do your body some good, you go, oh, yeah, I'll just have it geschnitten. When actually, the Käsekrainer itself is so fattening, it really doesn't matter whether you have it with a hot dog or a piece of wholemeal bread.
I might just give you a little insight into why I thought it sounded eerily like a hot dog last night when Brett described it. He described it as a big sausage that was inside a bread bun,
yes,
with sauce,
yes, sauce
on top of it.
See?
And he even did a swirly back and forth like you do with mustard and tomato ketchup. And I said, that sounds eerily like a hot dog. And he got so upset.
But it is like a hot dog, but it is unlike a hot dog in that inside of the Käsekrainer sausage, it's actually a lot of cheese.
See, now, melted my love, cheese. That would tick a box with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The hot dog ticked a box for me.
Hey, you're on Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. It's Brett and Andy with our special guest, Blair, on Chatterbox tonight. Hey, we were just talking before about Käsekrainer. Is that right?
Käsekrainer.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
It's a hot dog.
No, it's not a hot dog, Andrew.
I'm a hot and doggin.
Do you know sometimes we are two steps away from being mind your language?
We are one step away from being mind your language.
Hey, Blair, your final track tonight. Tell us a little bit why you chose this track.
Okay. Now, I chose this track. It's We Are Born to Die by Apollo Sunshine. And I simply chose it because it's one of my favourite tracks of the moment because I'm obsessed with Breaking Bad, the TV series.
Loved it.
And this one song spoke to me from the whole TV series, which we're watching on DVD because it's just easier with travel schedules to watch on DVD.
Yeah.
And I just think it just speaks about the whole, you know, not just about the TV series itself, but also certainly for myself.
Say autumn years.
Yes, as we were arguing about this earlier, about as we move into our autumn years and how
still late summer for me, the
lyrics,
boys.
Yeah, the lyrics, yes, maybe you're in Indian summer.
I know. No. Literally, the nights are getting colder, I know.
Can I say, we went out for dinner before the show and Blair was saying that we're moving into the autumn years of our life and Brett's face went white. Brett seems to think he's in the spring of his life.
I said it's a very late Indian summer.
Your green leaves are going brown, Brett.
There we go. We cut her off.
Yeah.
So, you can still hear her going on. So, Blair, the track was?
It's We're Born to Die, Apollo Sunshine. And it's simply, just listen to the lyrics as it plays, because I think it speaks to our zeitgeist.
Hey, you're on Joy 94.9. It's Chatterbox tonight.
Into Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9. That was We Are Born to Die by Apollo Sunshine, which was the third track from our very special guest tonight, the lovely Blair.
Very deep track.
It is very deep.
Very stirring.
It's very stirring. I thought it would be good to end the night and sort of like just get everyone to get a bit more introspective.
Well, it's not over yet.
It's like, that's almost like saying, we're not dead yet.
I was going to say, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and I realised that I'll probably get a boot up my ass. So it's not over till my boyfriend asks you questions. How's that instead?
Very good.
Now, this is the part of the show we call Out of the Box, and this is where we like to, I suppose, pick apart the patchwork quilt that is Blair Weir and ask you some deeply probing questions.
Right.
So the first question we've got is, what's the most embarrassing outfit you've ever worn?
That would have to be the tartan stovepipes that I wore at UWA when I was a uni student. But they weren't just stovepipes. I bought a stovepipes. They actually started off as flares, which I stole from my father's wardrobe. And they used to be a 1970s flares suit. And I thought, great, that's okay.
In tartan.
And I should, you know, when I've told this story, and my partner would say, you did that because you were gay. So I actually stole them. And then myself and another friend who was a female friend of mine, we sort of like managed to sort of like somehow on a Singer sewing machine whip them up into
you
a pair of stovepipes. But they were very unsightly and I teamed them with a white polo neck skivvy sort of thing and a black sort of jacket which I'd got from a good Sammy's.
Oh.
And I was going through my mod stage at uni. But I don't think the arse of the pants really looked that good.
Well, I was going to ask, there's two questions I've got. Firstly, what were your sewing skills like?
Oh, pretty negligible.
Okay, not great.
on a scale of 0 to 10,
sad
0.
What did Bob look like in a tartan bell-bottom suit?
I think back in the 70s, Bob thought he was pretty hot back then.
Oh, look, everyone was hot in the 70s. My goodness. And speaking of which, loving the show, boys. We just had a message. Listening in from Carnegie, the Vienna of the South. Or not. Love, Alistair. No. Oh, thank you for listening, Al. Yeah. My God. Andrew, what's the next question?
Blair, what's the most embarrassing song that you've got on your iPod?
Well, I've thought about this and it really, this is pretty, I don't know how embarrassing it is because I don't think it's embarrassing, but I think probably to the general public it would be. It's Moon River, but it's the Andy Williams version of Moon River.
And wow. So really sanitized.
Very sanitized, but I love it. And you know what? I grew up with Andy Williams singing almost every classic song. It was along with Barbara. That was probably the next favorite artist that she played on the stereo
system. I must admit, my mother did have an awful lot of albums at home with Andy Williams, usually wearing some big cable knit jumper on the cover.
And you know what? Andy actually wasn't a bad looker in his day.
No.
There was a great song that he did sing was...
Girls Go By.
Thank you, The Girls Go By, which is a great track.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next question, my love?
Who would you go straight for?
Look, you know, having or pretended to be straight or, you know, or purported to be straight is probably the better expression. It was a bit hard, this question, to answer. And I think when we sort of possibly spoke about this earlier, you said, well, who would you go lesbian for?
It's just you struggled when I said who would you
go straight
for.
I struggled because I did used to be in a different world, so to speak.
I should put it to lady terms.
Okay, I'd say, who would you go lesbian for? And you know what? If I did have to do that, it would have to be Julia Zemira. I think she's just heaven.
Can I say, what is it about her that...
I don't know. There's something about her that is just so... gorgeously feminine. And when she hosts Eurovision each year, she's just reveling in her femininity and just she's just humorous and gorgeous all at the same time. So I think if there was any woman I was going to jump into the sack with now,
yes,
it would have to be her.
Can I say what I find really funny is that I really like her, by the way. I actually like her comparing a lot of the... SBS show, she has a music show. She obviously does Eurovision every year with Stan. I've forgotten his last name. But she really polarizes people. Some people can't stick her at all. And I actually find her entertaining. And she's a beautiful looking girl as well.
But I think I find her so amazing that I, and this is probably why she, maybe this is the polarizing factor, that if I find someone who didn't like her, I'd probably stab them.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of stabbing tonight, boys.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I despise her.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I really do.
You're lucky you're sitting about 2 meters away from me at the moment.
There's a microphone.
There's a microphone, but there is a microphone I can throw at you.
She just rubs me the wrong way. I mean,
she's
a friend.
Sometimes she does this just being difficult. I'm just letting you know.
No, I've always disliked her. You know I have. I hate her on that stupid rock quiz show.
Yeah, you have.
But I totally appreciate everybody's appreciation to love somebody hideous. Rhett, who would you go straight for?
Do you know who I used to love for years?
Who?
And I still
You're going to say
do?
Elaine Stritch or some old woman.
Oh, Andrew.
For the listeners at home, Britt's got an old lady fixation.
Oh, is it Joan Crawford?
Tara Moss.
Oh, that's right, you did.
I used to.
But I do remember.
Love her.
Because Brett does get a little bit of like the mixy things happening.
Yeah, I do.
And he did come home once and say, guess who I saw who I thought looked so beautiful? And I said, who? And he said, Tara Reid. From Sharknado, an American
from Sharknado.
Did I say Tara Reid said no one ever? Except for me, because I used to get, well, I still do. I get all my celebrities mixed up, Blair. I just get too excited. But Tara Moss, for me,
yep,
I love for years. I just thought she was intelligent. She was beautiful. I loved the way she used to carry herself. I loved what she dressed, how she dressed. And she was all woman. And... I just adored her. I was just like, you're the perfect woman in my eyes.
Do you know who I love at the moment?
Who?
The lead actress. She was in Cloverfield and she's in Masters of Sex at the moment.
Yes!
She is so phenomenally beautiful and there's hotness to her. So I think right now, at this moment in time, I would go straight for the girl in Masters of Sex. Yes. Don't know her name, but yep, she's hot.
She's brilliant. She's brilliant. Mm. Absolutely. And do we have a final question for... Blair tonight, my love.
No, we don't. No,
was that the final question?
Yeah,
that was
the final question. 3 minutes to 12.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Blair, I'd like to say thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a total pleasure.
You really have. You've been delightful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, boys.
My pleasure. Now, look, we've just had one last message being sent through.
Have we?
Saying, Midnight Summer Song, is it MacArthur Park? Well, I would like to say a big thank you to that person who sent the message. And I think I might aim for that for next week. But my love, I've already chosen a Midnight Summer track, haven't I?
Well, it's that time of night. It is Midnight Summer and it's where Brett gets to choose his favourite Donna Summer song of the week.
Yes. Woo.
What's your choice this week, Brett?
Look, it was really hard, Blair, because we've played some classic Donna Summer, but this is a classic one from the 90s, not the 70s. This time I know it's for real.
This is one of my favourite Donna Summer songs of all time and it reminds me of when I first moved to Australia and I love it and it makes me happy and Good night, Australia.
Oh, my goodness.
Good night, Australia.
Good night, Australia.
Thanks, Blair.
Joy 94.9. Missed your favourite show? Head to the New Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.